This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more. Done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Welcome into the Portland Winterhawks podcast here at the Memorial Coliseum. Hanging out. I'm your host, Andy Dirk-Johnson. Nick Merrick hanging out, and we are joined today on the latest episode of the podcast by Kyle Chrzowski, alternate captain of the Hawks. Kyle, what's going on, man? Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Now, we got to start with something important, and that is it's not Seattle coming to town. We'll get to that in a moment. That's going to be a big game. I hear you're a Phillies fan.
I'm a huge Phillies fan. Yeah, I am.
So, I don't know when people listen to these and the timeliness of it. Last night, there was a World Series game.
There was.
And it did not quite go as well for you guys as Game 3 did. So, how you feel? 2-2 series tie. How's the Phillies fan feeling?
It's good. I'm just excited to be able to watch Game 5 tonight at home. It's tricky with our busy schedule in there.
That's true. Now, how do you do that when you're playing a game? Do you, like, DVR? Do you check your phone? Like, how does that work?
No, I'll just, like, on the way home, I kind of just, like, peek at it slowly.
Yeah.
But I wait till I get home, and then I make sure nobody tells me after the game.
Like, don't text me anything.
Yeah,
don't tweet me anything. None of that.
Exactly. Don't put anything on our TV, and then I'll just kind of peek at it. But no, it's going to be good tonight to watch Game 5, and I'll get a couple of the boys over, and we'll watch together.
Yeah, you got to watch Game 5, see if they win. I like their chances tonight. Verlander stinks in the World Series.
He does.
All right, I think you guys are going to win.
Tip those pitches.
Yeah, exactly. Pick up on the sliders when they're getting thrown. Now, have you always been a baseball guy? Has this been, like, a lifelong thing for you?
Yes, like, ever since I was, like, 4 or 5, I started playing baseball.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, my dad put me in, and then I was playing. I played all the way up till I was like 12 in a pretty like high league, and then at 13 I just made the choice to stay with hockey.
Now, what was it you just liked hockey better? Just the schedule, the style of the sport. You were better at it. What was the decision? Like,
honestly, I was better at it.
Yeah,
and I enjoyed baseball a lot. Like, all my friends played it, but I thought I was better at hockey. That was really the one chance I actually had to go farther. I wasn't great in baseball, but I still kind of miss baseball.
Sure. I think everybody does. Like, when you put a sport down, you kind of miss it. Well, I think you made the right choice. Your career's going all right.
It's not bad right now.
Things are going okay for Kyle. Yeah. Now, let me get the quick scouting report on you. What position? What were your strengths and weaknesses?
Yeah, I play center. I've been playing a bit of wing, too, left wing.
No, I mean in baseball. Sorry, I mean in baseball. Yeah. Sorry, the hockey scouting report. We get to baseball is important.
It's good. Hey, he said he switched to hockey, right?
Exactly.
He's dialed hockey.
You're wearing a Mariner hat. Yeah. Come on, man. I'm going down the baseball road.
Yeah, let's get into it. I was a catcher and a right fielder a lot.
Okay,
played on the Little League World Series team. In 2017.
No way.
For Team Canada, yeah. So I was mostly like right field for that.
No way.
Yeah. I loved being a catcher. I like picking guys off. Like, we'll catch people lacking and then throw right behind them and pick them off. But, I've mostly right field and catcher.
I love that, man. How was it playing in the Little League World Series?
It's crazy.
Matt, like, that's nuts.
Yeah, I was only 12 at the time. And then you spend that whole summer traveling. You go from districts to provincials to nationals and then to the Little League World Series. So
That's crazy.
Yeah, we move. Like, we started out in Victoria, and then we went out to Medicine Hat for nationals, and then you go to Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the World Series. But once you get to the World Series, it's like you're treated like a pro.
Yeah.
You're given all new gear. You stay with it. Like, we were living with in a dorm with Australia, and 6,000-7,000 people at every game. And then the big games, like our last game against Mexico, I think there was 11,000.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
As a 12, I can't even imagine. I'd get terrified at like a Little League game if there was like 15 people in
exactly.
the stadium, let alone 12,000.
No, it was the, it's the craziest moment. Yeah.
That's
the sad part is you probably overgrew all the clothes though, right?
Yes, I know, I did.
They got to help that out there.
Yeah, we got to send new Little League World Series gear.
I should have thought of it I got it. It was big for me at the time, and now...
I have to order you like a Team Canada Little League World Series shirt so you can rock that around in the summer.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, I'm sure listeners are like, okay, enough baseball. Let's talk some hockey. That's what we're here to listen to.
Wait, I'm going
to
add in one more.
Okay,
one more baseball thought.
One more baseball.
Because I know it's funny here. Kyle was saying, oh, you know, I picked hockey and I didn't, you know, I feel like I was better at hockey. This guy was hitting nukes in the batting cages in Kelowna.
Were you? Was that a team bonding activity?
It was a little team bonding up on the first road trip in September, and it was funny because Rich Campbell was the first. He's like, I'm going to go in the very hard section. Him and Robbie, it was Robbie, I think, that went over there.
It was.
They went in like this very hard, which, to be fair, when Kyle's playing at a high level, you're probably used to seeing 70 to 80 mile an hour pitchers.
Yeah, but, right around 70.
Yeah. It was kind of throwing, I think, 70 gas. And then Kyle just steps in there and just everything just ping, ping. Ping! Just straight to the target right at the middle. Meanwhile, we're all like swinging and missing.
Yeah,
so
maybe I still got it.
You still got it, man. Yeah, you could do. You're like the new Deion Sanders,
exactly.
man. We got to get you on like the Portland Pickles or something. You know, let's get you playing some baseball. I love it. Well, let's get to hockey. So, I mean, the team's off to a great start. Obviously, 7-0. Tough overtime loss to PG. But just how you feel, man? Early in the year, you guys got off to a slow start last year. It seems like it's a bit of a different story this year. How do you think things are going? A couple weeks into the season,
I think it's been good. I think we learned our lesson last year of how important early games are, and I think we started off well. We had a couple tough opponents, and we've started to realize every team in this league is really good, so that's something our younger guys and even our veterans are starting to learn. But I think we're off to a great start. It's fun playing at home so much right now. It's nice to stay home, and hopefully we can carry it on. We got a couple big games this weekend against Seattle and one against Spokane, so we'll see what happens after this weekend.
Well, and then, I mean, being named an alternate captain, you've been around for a couple years now. I think your rookie year was the COVID year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it had to be crazy going from that, playing in front of no fans, to speaking of fans being at games, to the atmospheres you've seen now in the playoffs and then early this year. But what did that mean to you? What was that honor like, being named an alternate captain?
Yeah, it was really cool. It's a really big honor. Even as an 18-year-old, there's a lot of guys who could have deserved that, but it's a huge thing for me. I pride myself on being a leadership guy, so getting named an alternate captain was really cool for me.
Well, and then I talked to Gabe on the last episode, and I was curious, what's your leadership style like? Everybody kind of does it different way. Are you vocal? Are you a work ethic guy? How do you go about it?
Yeah, I'm a little different than Gabe. I'd say I'm more of like a vocal guy. Like, okay. I like to talk to guys in the dressing room, and I love to just be a worker, you know, someone who's a little spark plug for the team. But I like to talk in the dressing room. I like to give speeches, and I feel like I'm that type of guy.
You give the big speech. I love it. Stand up.
Yeah.
Rough first period. You're in there in the intermission, just barking at the boys.
Yeah.
I like it, man.
Sometimes
you gotta have that guy on the team, right? So
yeah.
I mean, obviously a draft eligible player. How does that go for you? Like, when you talk to your agent and they hear from teams of like, hey, we want you to work on X, Y, and Z. Like, how much of that is that on your radar? How much is that on your mind? I'm just curious how that works.
Yeah. No. It's obviously it's something that like everybody thinks of, but it's more so like I'll talk to my agent every once in a while and he'll say like, hey, this team's like been watching you, like keep doing this, keep doing that. And so it's kind of like nice to hear that, but it's more so the same things that you know you're doing well and what you're not doing well. So whether they're watching or not, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I think you know like if you're playing well or if you're doing this right or what you need to get better at. So it's obviously something in the back of everybody's mind, but yeah, it's not that important right now.
Well, and the self-scouting, too. I mean, yeah, that's a great ability to be able to look at it and say, this is what my strengths and weaknesses are. So we got the scouting report on your baseball game. Let's get the scouting report on your hockey game.
Okay.
What are the strengths and weaknesses for you right now, think?
I'm more of a – I think I'm a big two-way guy. I'm really good in the defensive zone. And I like to play around the net. I like to touch pucks around the net, and that's where I score most of my goals. And I'm a little bit chippy too. I don't mind getting involved in it.
Don't mind getting a little fight every now and then if you need to. Now, I was talking to Nick and just kind of getting the lowdown. Sounds like elevated role in special teams, being a big guy on penalty kills. How has that developed? How has that aspect of your game developed? And how important is that for you to have that elevated role in those situations?
Yeah, no, it's been a lot bigger this year, and it's been good. You start to learn as a younger guy how the systems work and what you need to do well. And now that you're given the opportunity, it's really important for me to thrive in those roles, because that's something that you want to have as an Arsenal when you move up into pro and as an older guy. So I think that's something that is really key for me to keep doing well.
Yeah.
Kyle, is that something that's good to see kind of when you come in as a 16, to be able to go in those video sessions, and when the coaches kind of pull you in when you aren't on the special teams unit at the time, but they're like, yeah, you might be coming there soon. Like, they see you going that way. Yeah. Is it good to just kind of like sit back, try to like absorb it all when you're probably a little shell-shocked, right? When you come in as a 16 to like, okay, I got to figure out this whole league. Like, there's older players. I'm used to playing with like my age bracket. Now I got a 4-year gap with some guys. Is it nice to get that like adjustment to kind of come in and then understand what the Hawks system's like you said?
Yeah, 100%. I think as a younger guy, when I was younger, I love to kind of see what coaches are trying to preach to our penalty killers, and then you just keep it in the back of your brain. And obviously, in practice, every once in a while, we'll work on power play, and they need penalty killers, so you can hop in and you can get reps and you can try that stuff out. But as a younger guy, it's awesome to coaches will let you come into meetings and see what they're working on, and then you start to learn kind of the basics of it, and then because at some point you're gonna have to be that guy as you get older.
Right.
So it's important to get in the basics early.
Yeah, I look at the schedule, and this is coming from a non-player, so tell me if I'm an idiot, because I'm probably an idiot here. Seattle coming to town. First time you guys met with them in the preseason, but first regular season game since Game 7 last year. Is that a thing? Like, have you guys been thinking about that a lot? Is it not like, hey, just another rivalry game, and it doesn't matter? Like, is that on your mind? Am I an idiot? What's the vibe like going into that first rivalry game against
them? No, it's on our mind. It's a huge game. It's a statement game for both of us. Both of these teams right now are top in the West, and I think this is a huge stepping stone for us to see where we're at and where Seattle's at. But, no, this is going to be a huge back-to-back for us, and I think everybody's got a little extra pep in their step.
Yeah, and then walk me behind, too. I mean, going from the younger levels of hockey, working your way up, playing a bigger role. I mean, having a stretch like 4 games in 5 nights, what's that like the first time you go through it? And is your body, ready for it? Because you guys have had a kind of nice runway into the schedule this year. Now things are going to ramp up, but what's 4 and 5 nights like?
Yeah, 4 and 5 is tricky, and it starts on the first night, because after game one, you're like, holy cow, like your body's tired. So honestly, the biggest thing is what you do on the day. Like, today is really important that we not only get our recovery in, but we also keep our legs moving. You get on a bike and get moving, because you need to have as much energy as you can for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it starts on Friday what you do, because if you're taking too long of shifts or staying out too long or getting caught out, it's going to affect you on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we start to learn that once you get to Sunday, you realize like your body can't take it if you're not treating it well.
Yeah, you kind of learn to get off the ice, make sure you keep those legs going. Yeah. Now, I hear you spent the summer at the Ludwig Training Center. Yeah. Like, you're like chopping wood, skating. Like, what's going on? Who was all there? Walk me behind what that was like in the off season.
Yeah, it's my second year doing it. Yeah. It's obviously former Hawk captain, John Ludwig. His dad, they live out right outside of Kamloops. And 2 years ago, they invited me out, and they were starting up this thing. So now this was my second year, and it was me and Curtis Smythe and Robbie from DeLorme, and then John, and then a couple other guys who are locals. And so we live out. He has a little barn that like we lived in. It's a little like frat house.
And
all the guys who stayed there lived there. And we wake up in the morning. We go work out. We start at like 7 a.m. and then we'd go boxing. And we do boxing for about an hour and a half in town, and then we come back and we do a little bit of like mental stuff, and then we take a nap, go to the rink in town, and then come home late, have dinner, and do a little bit of stretching, and then repeat that all of August.
Wow.
It's fun. It's really tough,
but
it gets you ready for the season. That's kind of a little commitment that you can make to yourself. I think Robbie would agree too that coming into the season, rarely have you ever, do you ever feel this good.
Sure.
And this much, this good in your cardio. Normally starting the season, you got to try and find your legs, and you're like a little step behind with cardio, but doing this, I think it gets you ready right off the hop.
Does the boxing help you in scraps?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Punch in the bag in the gym. That'll help you out.
Yeah.
That's one, too, where I feel like at the end of summer in August, everyone's thinking, oh, I got 2 more weeks on the lake, then I got a report.
Yeah. Yes.
And here you are.
More rounds
you're setting
of golf
your alarm for probably 6 a.m. to wake up. Meanwhile, we're.
No, I think a couple teammates saw that and they're like, oh, I got to get going, too.
Yeah, they see you on day one of camp. You're like, hey, this guy's like a mile ahead of me, man. What's going on here? I love it, dude. So, hey, 3 concerts coming up at the Moda Center. Which one is Kyle most likely to go to? Post Malone, Lizzo, or Dave Matthews Band?
Post Malone.
Yeah.
Post Malone.
Are you going to the show?
I'm not.
Yeah.
I
got Phillies tonight.
That's true. World Series, and it's 4-5. You probably got to take care of the body.
Yeah, if they would have thrown that on Monday, I think most teammates would have gone. But unfortunately, they put it right in the middle. Bad scheduling by him. But
right, come on, Post Malone. You got to be better than that. No. Work around the Hawks schedule.
100%.
Let's end with some fun stuff, just getting to know you a little bit better. You mentioned Post Malone concert you like. What's your favorite musician right now? Who's number one on your playlist?
Yeah. I listen to a lot of John Mayer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but for rap, I like Kid Cudi.
Okay.
But I'm a bit of both. I don't know.
You're kind of all over the map. What kind of music you like pregame?
Pregame rock.
Rock, yeah. Get you going a little bit.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, we listen to that in the dressing room.
So. Favorite TV show recently?
Modern Family.
Modern Family.
Yeah.
Always a good call. What about movie?
Just watched a scary one, but it wasn't very good. Probably my favorite movie, it's always been Transformers.
Like the OG Transformers?
Yeah, the second one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I haven't seen a Transformer. Megan Fox?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Exactly. Favorite stand-up comedian?
Bill Burr.
I mean, come on. That's how you end it right there. That's a walk-off. He's the best there is.
He is awesome.
Well, I love it, man. Hey, well, it's fun to get you out of class for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I know you got to be 4 and 5 nights. The body's going to be worn down. Best of luck to your fills, and thanks for hopping on the podcast, man.
Thank
it was a lot
you
of fun.
So much. Yeah, this was really fun. Appreciate it.
All right, rolling on here on the Portland Winterhawks podcast over at the VMC, and joined now by my good buddy, the voice of the Portland Winterhawks, Nick Merrick. What's going on, man?
Andy, doing great. Doing really good. It's crazy to think we're in November. A lot of hockey coming up here for the Hawks fans. Excited for that. And really just looking forward to what's ahead. It's going to kind of get my bus legs going soon. Fortunately, we have some home games before that. But things are great. It's been just busy campus, couple concerts this week. So
it's kind of a crazy week. I pull up at the VMC today. There's trucks all over the place.
It's wild.
Lizzo's in town. Post Malone's in town.
Yep. Dave Matthews Band coming then shortly. Oh, it's
I'm sure it'll
time.
All be the same crowd, right? They all go to those same
shows,
right?
Yeah, there you go.
There's no difference there. It is. Did you get any sleep last night, by the way?
Not much.
Yeah.
Not much.
Late night.
Yeah. It's
overtime, shootout. Those games drag on.
100%. Yeah, you get, you know, you need to wind down a little bit. The adrenaline's going after a game, and you're thinking about the, you know, the night. And no, eventually I got some sleep, but you know, you got to check on your phone and kind of just see what's going on and catch up on social media. Next thing you know, then you're thinking about the games, and it's all fun. Like, that's kind of what gets you into the hockey season when you fully immerse yourself into it.
I've found, too, sometimes after a broadcast or, like, being around a good atmosphere, it takes me a while to unwind.
It does.
Because you're kind of, especially a shootout, a game like that where everybody's kind of, you're on the edge of your seat. It's an intense ending.
Yes.
You're kind of, your adrenaline's going.
It is.
And then you get done with the game and you're like, it's 11 o'clock and I'm wide awake,
yes,
man.
Well, because you know you got to bring the energy. Like,
exactly.
When you see it go to overtime, like, if you were, wherever you were at, you're like, okay, I got to be ready because this game could end in one shot.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, like, you're building yourself up thinking, okay, let's get going. And it's funny too, because behind the scenes side, you're basically running on those midweek games. I'm throwing espresso down me. I'm trying to stay awake during the day to kind of get that jolt going. And oh boy, like, people know I'm always, you know, super, I always have an energetic call.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it keeps you going on those Wednesday nights. So
it takes a lot of coffee to get there. That's
yes,
a lesson.
We need
Nick Merrick to
powered
have
by coffee. If Starbucks would like to sponsor us, or Dutch Bros,
yes,
please let us know. I will happily take you up.
Nick Merrick here for your espresso. I need a lot of caffeine.
Yes.
Let's get to the team. So last time we talked 2 weeks ago, undefeated. Everybody's feeling good. And I, you know, it's funny how you can go from undefeated to finally losing a game, which we all knew it would happen. Now it's like, I don't know how they're playing. Second best record on the Western Conference.
Yep.
I mean, Seattle seems like a machine right now. We'll get to that game because it's the revisit of the rivalry and the playoff matchup. But just what have you seen? What stood out to you the last couple of weeks? They're not winning every game anymore. I think we can all accept that. It'll be all right. What have you seen? What's standing out about the Hawks?
You know what? I think it's a good start, obviously. A great start. I think there's some things to learn from this stretch. kind of like you said, there were, you know, the team wasn't going to go 68-0. Yeah. Everyone knew that. But when you get the first losses, it's kind of a little bit of a humble pie for the team, and they realize they aren't unstoppable, and they have some things to work on. The power play is kind of quieted a little bit too, which is maybe hurt some of their win-loss record stuff. But again, still pretty solid. I think it's still operating just below like 28%. So that's really good. I mean, still great numbers there. Takeaways, the team's seven games in at their home schedule, they've scored four goals in all those games. The offense has been kind of there. They've had some troubles defensively a little bit. Just kind of breaking the puck out of the zone, I think, is one of those takeaways that you want to clean up some things. But, you know, here we are talking in the fall, and it's easy to point out things that could be done better, because every team's always going to improve. It just depends on how quickly they are able to adapt and figure those things out. I know that Mike and Brian and Kyle are doing a great job there working with the team and getting them ready for what's to come. But, you know, another takeaway is just kind of seeing different faces, different players, different teams on a nightly basis. Like, gone are the days of five straight against Spokane from a year ago that, you know, it's good from the standpoint of where they can make it a playoff game simulation, but it's also bad because then you're just getting used to the same routines for basically 2 weeks at a time, and it's tough. But then when you're back to this more normal schedule, you're playing a Prince George team weekday, you're playing a Seattle team on the weekend, then you're playing Spokane following that, then you look ahead to the following week, and you got Victoria for the first time on the road, then you're going to have Vancouver into the mix shortly, you're having Everett, so like, you're getting different opponents each night here in the month, which is going to benefit the Hawks because they're getting so many different looks, which then will help them develop and grow. And some of those young guys are really coming along. I think that's been, you know, a really fun part to watch this season. Obviously, Carter Southern, maybe one of the most notable younger names just because of his recognition on Central Scouting, and seeing him blossom. I think he's almost at a point per game pace, a little under that by the time of us talking, but he's really a calm demeanor on the ice. And I like his style. He's going to be a heavy right-handed defenseman, offensive player. He'll kind of grow into that, I feel. And Kyle Gustafson even had some great words for him following one of the games. In our post-game media, was saying that he feels that, you know, if he's at his peak, he'll definitely reach that top four solid WHL player for the Winterhawks and will be a key contributor for the team for years to come. Jan Spoonar has gotten a couple more games now in net, so I think he'll get more comfortable as he continues to play. Three wins on his docket always looks good. Wasn't tested too much in his, I think it was a third start now against Kelowna, only faced about 12 to 15 shots, and sometimes that's what it's like playing as a goaltender in the Winterhawks system. Yeah. Like, you know, the team's going to be so driven offensively. A lot of the time spent the other side of the ice, the goaltender's really got to stay mentally focused, and then Spoonar's adjusting well to North America. He's trying to figure out English a little bit better, kind of day-by-day process with him, but it's funny with those interactions because, you know, he's trying to figure out the education and learn English through college classwork, and then you're trying to just small talk with them to keep it very, you know, very 30,000 foot level and not, you know, not try to drop any lingo, which is hard. You realize how much lingo you have going on in English.
Phrases or sayings that he's not going to
understand.
That's
just going to go right over his head and think like, huh?
What are you talking about?
And you get that blank stare and you're like, let me rephrase. Yeah. So you try to keep things really, really short and simple there, but it's kind of funny. It'll be great to see his growth this season. And then, you know, now it's kind of which guy, which line's going to step up, because I think it's a strength, if you will, but you know, the team will probably figure out sooner than later who's going to be their go-to guys in situations. Sure. And there's still a little bit of a question mark there. Like, obviously Gabe Clausen's been doing terrific in the goal scoring production, leading the team already first to get the double-digit scoring. James Stephon's always been a reliable player too. We've seen him in a couple of shootout rounds. We've seen him play a lot of overtime minutes. So you kind of start to identify who those top-line players are. But there's almost like more to grow with those players as well and see if they can kind of take their game to the next level. So I think November as a whole is going to be a big learning month. And obviously you're going to have some big tests along the way. Seattle, Everett, Vancouver's been solid. Maybe better than I would have expected. Obviously, you already played Prince George as of us talking. So excited to see how they match up against those teams too and kind of get to compare in the Western Conference. And then, you know, you go from there.
It is funny with the schedule change, and we've kind of highlighted that on the first couple episodes where it's a very different style of coaching.
Yes.
Where you're not used to, I mean, it's a new opponent, it's a new format, it's a new, all right, what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, as opposed to playing the same team for the fifth time in 2 weeks.
Right.
And it's, we know this team inside and out. We know all their strengths, all their weaknesses. There's no gameplay. Like, nothing's going to change for the guys going into this game.
Yep.
It is funny Valley. Now you're throwing in a different curveball. It's like, all right, what does Prince George do well? All right, what does Victoria do well? Let's get ready for that. You mentioned the test coming up. I think something that every Hawk fan has their eye on is the first matchup against Seattle. First time since Game 7. I know we've talked to the players on the pod, and that's something that they remember. And I'm sure that it's been lingering in their mindset all offseason. I love that the first one is here in Portland, so you got a chance on a Friday night for a great crowd, and it should be an awesome environment. But what have you seen from the glimpses you've seen from Seattle? I know Portland hasn't played him yet, because I'm looking at that roster, and it looks like it's a loaded squad again that has a great chance to win the Western Conference.
Seattle is very good this year. Honestly, they might be the favorite in the Western Conference. On paper, they probably certainly are at this point. And it kind of shows, you had that first unofficial meeting in the preseason, which I know it's preseason, you're getting some different players in, but the Seattle Thunderbirds did play more of their NHL guys at that time because they knew they had a 3-3 for a preseason, which is tough. And then those guys were not going to be available the next weekend because they were going off to NHL camp. So Krinkovic, Souchin, Korchinski, those type of players were playing against the Winterhawks younger guys in the preseason, and they looked elite. They looked the part. They didn't take a night off. They played well. They beat Portland in that game. But obviously, you can't compare the win and loss in that situation, but just showcasing that their talent looked good early against Portland. So it'll be interesting to see how that translates here into those first meetings in November. But it's the first of 12 games against Seattle, and this is a really good test for the club because the Hawks are riding a high. They were 7-0. At one point, I think Seattle was right there with, I think they were exactly 7-0 when the Winterhawks were 7-0. And then Seattle's win streak went a few games longer. Eventually, they were the ones that suffered their first loss to Prince George. Well, the Winterhawks just lost to Prince George. So that's similarity as well. There's some good teams out west, and Seattle on paper probably the best. Obviously, I feel like them and Kamloops were the two Western Conference opponents that me personally was so excited to see head to head. And this will be a really fun weekend because you get the home and home. You'll get to be a part of it as well, which
that's
I'm excited,
right.
excited to bump shoulders with you throughout the VMC on that day. I don't know. I'm just going to try to take a step back a little bit. Come prepared to see whatever hockey game we're going to get and then just see how both teams are able to respond because I'm sure Seattle's going to come in hungry. Portland's going to come in hungry. So it's going to be kind of a dog versus dog matchup. And you like seeing those and you like kind of jumping in and then, what's going to linger into Saturday? Because I'm sure there's going to be some physicality and some chippiness that chips into it. But hopefully it's just a good, tight hockey game. And we'll evaluate from there.
Seeing some of the comments from Matt Odette where he talked about he loves how hard his team is playing. And that's always the scary thing for me about a team like Seattle when you pair the talent that they have with the work ethic. And Portland teams have been known for that so many times over the years. And then you have the added aspect of you've had however many months. I mean, I forget what the schedule was last year because everything got thrown out the window and everything was delayed. It was May, June, whatever the hell that game was, Game 7. That's been on your mind for a long time.
For sure.
And to sleep on that and have to wait. You mentioned they played in the preseason, but a little bit of a different atmosphere
on
Friday
question.
Night. And when you have a team that's coming in that's more talented, sometimes you can't outwork them, but another aspect of that can be the home crowd. And it feels like Portland so far, and correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like so far the energy and the atmosphere has been really solid for Portland and there's a lot of enthusiasm. I don't know if it's just getting past COVID. I don't know if it's the way the team played last year. Maybe it's a combination of all of them, but it feels like the atmospheres have been really good this year from the fans.
Agreed. I feel like it's going to get even that much more for the weekend against Seattle. I feel like
Friday night game.
Yeah, whenever you get Portland and Seattle on the docket, the fans are going to come ready, and they're always on their A game, which is great to see. I feel like that energy hopefully will translate then on the ice, really for both teams. Hopefully, obviously, from the Portland podcast standpoint, Portland has a good benefit from it.
Let's go.
And they always do, but it's the same thing that we've heard many times from all the guests here. They love playing in Seattle because they love hearing those chants against them. They love kind of rising to the occasion.
Yep.
And it's a very similar vibe, I'm sure, from that of the Portland Winterhawks and when they're hosting Seattle. So now you focus on those games. It's going to be a good test for the two clubs. I'm really curious to see, too, how some of their players developed from Seattle because, we're seeing them from some highlights, and I'm catching a period here or there. Haven't had a chance, really, to watch a full game for Seattle. So excited to see how that vibe goes, and it's a big game as well. Hawks Fight Cancer game, always a big one in Portland. Some great fundraising efforts throughout the night. It kind of adds to that atmosphere and that intensity, and just kind of brings the whole game full circle, if you will, because you're energized for the game. You're checking out how you can help a bunch of different nonprofit charities and other local organizations. The Winter Hawks will hopefully be getting a charity auction launched as well here in the month of November to kind of help with some extra fundraising efforts there, and just going to have some great groups out, a really good night through and through, and then just 3-3 for the Hawks, so you also knock on wood that everyone gets through it cleanly, because this is a tough stretch. They've had a 3-3 before, but not a 4-5.
Yeah.
So 4 games in 5 nights, it's tough on the body, so you got to come prepared, and Rich Campbell does a good job with that. But I feel like everything we've said is kind of almost, you can copy and paste it from our last podcast to this podcast, and just know that maybe our direction or our conversation points are going to change after this. It's almost like we need to see what's going to happen this weekend until we can kind of dive in a little bit more on certain aspects, because not much has changed in those last, a couple of tougher losses, but still 10 of the 11 games so far, the Hawks get a point. It's really good to see this team thriving.
Well, it is. And I think the other lesson too for fans that you got to remember is that throughout the course of the season, you're going to have those close games, and sometimes the puck's going to bounce your way and sometimes it's not.
Yes.
Sometimes you're going to lose a shootout. Sometimes you're going to win a shootout.
Yes.
And it's a very thin margin between starting 7-0, but a couple of those games were back and forth. A crazy comeback, like games they easily could have lost. And now you look at last night's game against Prince George. To date ourselves, we're recording this on Thursday, but you have a 2-goal lead in the third period and it let it slip. You lose in a shootout, easily could have been a win. It's funny how they can go kind of either way. But you mentioned the area of the team improving. I think that's the thing that I always look forward to most with a Mike Johnson coach team. Defensively, what are the things that are standing out to you that you feel like maybe they could address, or that Mike is talking about after the game that they could address? Because they've, I think, acknowledged that we're going a little bit younger with our D-core. We traded away a veteran in the locker room, a 20-year-old. Like, we're accepting that there might be some growing pains, and I think he trusts those guys that eventually we're going to get there. And you've seen Mike for how many years now? You know they're eventually going to get there. But what's standing out when you watch the D-core and just the way they're playing right now?
I think the first thing to say is there's not enough minutes to go around there for the defensemen. Like, that was kind of the talking point moving into the first game of the regular season. There were 10 guys defensively on the roster for the Hawks, which obviously not sustainable from a full season. But I think that was the first note of how do you get all these guys into games, and you're having talented players kind of just sitting, which will benefit you down the road, no question about it. But from our standpoint, it's thinking like, oh boy, those are tough calls each night of who kind of gets the rotation, who's sitting out, who's in the game. There's gamers down there, and they want to play. They want to compete, so I like that. I think that's the first and foremost talking point. Secondly, you nailed it, Andy. I think it's the fact that the coaching staff recognize there's going to be some growing pains, but they want to put some of those younger players in positions to help their development, put them in tougher minutes, allow them to play what they think they can. And that kind of showcases that trust element. Like, the team obviously wouldn't trade away a veteran of over 100 WHL games and has been with the program for 4 to 5 years if you don't feel that you have the people to pass the baton to. So, that kind of is trust within, and they trust that defensive core. I think there's a couple of things they can clean up for sure. Like, obviously, the breakouts have been a little bit sloppy at times. It's not all on the defense. It's also just kind of like how the forward sticks are in neutral ice and kind of how different players play off the puck. And, it could be some systems based and just kind of getting that routine of getting used to, what their breakouts are. Because, again, it comes back to the whole scouting thing. That's where it goes a lot of the workload on Brian and Kyle in particular. They'll put together these, I call them one sheeters sometimes, like 2 or 3 pages just of notes that they give just to benefit the players. They review them in the morning, during the morning skate time. They go over some video sessions, but you're trying to adjust different breakout looks. So, like, you might be doing this, breakout A, and now you're going to breakout B.
Right.
So, okay, now my brain one day ago was used to doing this formation when we broke out the puck, but now we got to switch it to do this because there's a better look based on what the defense is giving you. So, like, those little things are going to what you're going to see growing. And I think that's why Mike always says, I wait till December until I make any adjustments on the team and, like, kind of figure out where we stand.
Yeah.
Are we a competitor? Do we need to make a change? Do I need to switch something from a scheme perspective because it's not clicking? So we're getting closer to that point. But overall, it's a steady group. There's, there's some things still to work out, but it's a confident group, which I like too. Like, you don't want to have a group that comes in overconfident, but you don't want to have one that comes in, kind of shaking in their skates, and they're neither one of those. They're right in that perfect middle spot where they're hungry, and they're really just trying to play that team game and figure it out as a unit.
It is funny because I know you've pointed that out before. And sometimes I'll watch, and when there's a turnover behind your own net, or you know it leads to an opponent goal or something like that, it is funny how quickly the finger does get pointed to the defenseman, or why didn't you release quicker, or where was the pass?
Without question. Pass.
And it is so funny because sometimes it is on a forward that maybe wasn't where he needed to be.
Right.
Maybe he wasn't there to receive that pass.
Right.
It's like when a quarterback throws a bad interception. It's like, do you ever think maybe the wide receiver ran the wrong route?
Right.
That's not
exactly.
on him. You were supposed to be there, and you weren't there, and I threw a pick, and the safety picked it off. Like, you got it. It's a two-way street sometimes, you know, like we need a little help to exit the zone in a quicker pace because you're just getting off and you want to go, and that's Mike's system, but you got to make sure you get that outlet pass first. It's funny how sometimes the finger gets pointed one direction or the other. Well, you mentioned Hawks Fight Cancer Night. I love all the stuff that Portland does behind the scenes and raising money for charity and the awareness. There's going to be a ceremonial puck drop. It's going to be a really cool night. What else is on the calendar? What else are we looking at coming up? Because I know when I looked at the schedule before the season, I'm like, oh, my God, there's one every, like, 2 weeks. There's big stuff coming up. So after Hawks Fight Cancer, what's next on the list for Portland?
There really is. I guess first I'll put a button on those who are going to tune in before the Hawks Fight Cancer Night. Or if you're tuning in maybe after the fact, that's A-OK, too. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the Mina Singer Foundation, the Colon Cancer Coalition, Be the Match, and the Siteman Cancer Center from Washington University in St. Louis. Big providing partners with this game. Great efforts there from their crews and their staffs, and many of them will be on site as well. So say hello if you see them at the games. Really appreciate, you know, everything they've helped to make Hawks Fight Cancer Night what it will be. And then looking ahead to that following week, you're right, there's some big things coming up. The team will be on the road for a quick stretch, so fans will get a breather, but then don't, you know, you're coming right back. So don't go too far away from us, because then it's a huge docket coming up. Hawks Fight Hunger, it's a big campaign fundraising effort for the Oregon Food Bank through our Fred Meyer partnership as well. They have a Zero Hunger, Zero Waste initiative, so they're trying to, you know, help provide meals for those in need in the greater Portland area. So we will be leaning heavily on the support of the fan base for that in a great donation effort there against a midweek game against Calgary. Also going to be a giveaway that night too. More on that later, but a nice giveaway as fans come in. And it'll be a team-related giveaway, so it's kind of a fun, it's a fun one.
I
that
like it. That's everyone a good will tease like. Right there.
Yeah, I don't think we've done this giveaway in the past. Or maybe we did. 100% not in my time for the 5 years. So maybe they had it back, in the heydays, back in the 80s, 90s, when the Winterhawks were really kind of booming into this big franchise. But check out that for next Tuesday. Well, I guess a couple Tuesdays from now, the 15th it is of November. And then you go into that weekend, and then you're going to have the Women of the Rose City Night, which is a big community effort night as well. A great networking experience. The Winterhawks have been working with a bunch of different partners, teams from Adidas and the Thorns and the Trailblazers and Wise Portland and Sports Oregon. There's so many different groups that will be represented at that, which obviously the fans won't see as much. You'll get a glimpse of it throughout the game, and we'll be highlighting different kind of women stars and prestigious women in the industry, both in Portland and afar. Also highlighting many women's hockey players as well throughout the night, so that'll be good. And there'll be more built into it. Nice t-shirt giveaways and t-shirts to purchase as well at the team store for those specific nights, especially the Hawks Fight Cancer and the Women of the Rose City Night. Always two good games. But there'll be more coming out too. We just have to kind of dot the I's, cross the T's, if you will, on some of these things.
Sure.
Trying to figure out what that phrase is. And then, you know, then you're off and running again because you have those two big nights. That strings right into some big games in late November. You have Toy Drive coming up in early December. The Teddy Bear Toss game, that's a fan favorite. I think there's already going to be like 6,000 people coming to that as of us talking here in early November. So great to see the fan base really rally behind those games. We love rallying behind it too. So that one's going to be good. And you're right, Andy. There's a lot of promos coming up. Almost hard to keep track of it a little bit, so I know it's tough. Winterhawks.com, there's a little drop down on the schedule that has a promos calendar update of what's coming up, and then the team here is trying to do our best as well. Just keep checking out that front page of Hawks landing page to get some good usable clickable links there to figure out kind of situate your November promo schedule.
It is fun. It's a great timing for the podcast every week, every other week, because there's like two or three new ones every time we record a new podcast.
Yes.
It's like, all right, what's next, what's on the docket, let's go baby. And it is crazy. I mean, it's just, you know, it's funny how I remember recording the first one this year, and it's like, I can't believe the season's here, and now I'm sitting here saying, it's November.
Yep.
What the hell happened, man?
Yep.
It's November.
Yep.
Holiday breaks in like a month. What are we doing?
Like, I know. I feel like it's going to be the same exact thing that happens here. Well, it comes back to what I started with. You have 13 games in November. That's a lot.
That's like, a lot of games.
I don't even feel like there's 13 days in November to begin with. Well, I feel like anyways with the holiday stuff, right? Like people are like, okay, it's Halloween, and then Christmas starts.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah, get the decorations out. Yes. Mariah Carey's playing. Let's go, baby. Get the pumpkins out. It's Christmas time.
I know our office was going nuts because the holiday drinks menu changed at Starbucks for some of our caffeine addictions that we have in the office. So that's kind of in full swing, too. It's going to feel different this month, which will be good.
It's going to be awesome. The atmospheres have been great. I can't wait to be at the game tomorrow night and see you and heckle you from behind in the broadcast booth. It's going to be a lot of fun. Always enjoy it. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate the time, and let's have a good one, Hawks fans. Let's enjoy this month.
All right, that'll do it. Episode 4, Season 2 of the Portland Winterhawks podcast. My thanks again to Nick Merrick for hopping on. Always enjoy the conversations with him. Love talking about the way the team's playing, what's upcoming. I know it was a tough one last night, depending on when you're listening to this. It is we're taping on Thursday, November 3rd. Prince George in town last night. That was a tough loss, but a big weekend, a chance to bounce back. And really enjoy talking with Nick. And then, of course, Kyle Chizowski. What a story that was. What an awesome conversation. I truly enjoyed that. I love getting to know these guys off the ice and who they are and their upbringing and how they got to this point of playing for Portland. I did not know that he played in the Little League World Series. What a cool story that was. Can you imagine being a 12-year-old playing in front of 10, 15,000 fans on national television? Oh, what an awesome story. Really enjoyed getting to know Kyle a little bit more. And a reminder that we're going to be checking back in with him on the podcast this season a little bit later on. And then, of course, Luca and Gabe. So if you've missed the last couple of episodes, the first player profile we did was Luca Cagnoni. The last one was Gabe Clausen. And then, of course, Kyle Chizowski on this episode, and we'll check back in with all three of those guys throughout the course of the season. My thanks again to both Nick and Kyle. They were awesome this week on the episode. Hey, Hawks fans, big weekend. Seattle in town tomorrow night. Portland in Seattle on Saturday. You got another home game on Sunday. It's a 3-3, a 4-5. The Hawks are playing great hockey. I'll tell you, Seattle is loaded again this year, and as you heard from Kyle there, that notion of losing Game 7, the last time these two teams played an important game was that Game 7 of the series last year, and I know that it's been in their minds for a long time, and I'm curious to see how Portland comes out and plays because, you know, diving into some of the stuff on Seattle and their roster and all that, the Thunderbirds are loaded this year, so Portland's going to have their hands full on these next two games, and I cannot wait to see how this young Hawks team kind of rises to the challenge, not only Friday night at home, but then Saturday on the road up at the Showwear Center. And a reminder for folks, I hope to see you at the VMC tomorrow night. It is the first of the television games this year on Portland CW. I will be on the call that one with Mike Benton. I still don't know what in the world I'm doing and why they want me to do it, but I have a great time doing it, and I hope you guys, if you're not at the game, will tune in on Portland CW to watch that game. It's a real passion project. There's a lot of people that work their tails off behind the scenes to make those television broadcasts happen, and it's really enjoyable. So I hope you'll tune in. I hope you'll watch, and it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night at the VMC. And if you're at the arena, stop by and say hi. Big weekend for the Hawks. And hey, a quick reminder, you heard Nick say it there, but I just want to remind you that coming up on Saturday, November 19th, it's the first of Portland's Hockey is for Everyone series. It's going to be the Women of the Rose City Night, and the Hawks are inviting prestigious women in the Portland sporting world and beyond to the VMC for that game. They're doing a networking event. The team's going to recognize local female hockey players during that game. And you can show your support by purchasing a Women of the Rose City t-shirt at the game in the Winterhawks team store. For more on that and all the other Hockey is for Everyone nights, you can go to winterhawks.com to check out those details. So really cool stuff the Hawks are doing behind the scenes. And this team's playing great, man. They're an awesome watch right now, and it's going to be a fun weekend of hockey. Portland and Seattle, back-to-back nights, Friday and Saturday. That'll do it for us here on the Portland Winterhawks podcast. I can't thank you enough for tuning in. I want to give you a quick reminder. I know a lot of people ask, how do I access this? Or I get that text sometimes, or people, you know, will reach out on Twitter and ask me. It is on, you can find it on 1080thefan.com. The Winterhawks put it out on their website at winterhawks.com. You can always find it there. It's on the Odyssey app, but if you don't have that app or you just have some other stuff that you listen to, you can find it in Apple Podcasts. You can find it on Spotify. I imagine it shows up some other places as well, but I know it's on those two platforms. If you got Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can always listen to it. And if you subscribe to the podcast and like it, every time a new episode is released, you'll get a notification on your phone letting you know that there's a new episode. So you don't have to wait and kind of wonder what the schedule is going to be, because I'm always at the behest of the schedule of the players, and that's when I go in and record those pods. So if you want kind of more accurate, hey, when's the latest episode coming out? Just Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on some platform, and it'll let you know when a new episode is out. We're planning on doing another episode next week, but to be determined on that. Still trying to work out the details there for episode 5. But thank you so much for tuning in, not only to this episode, but all season long. I can't thank you enough. It's been a ton of fun to do. For Kyle Chizowski, for Nick Merrick, I'm Andrew Johnson. Hope to see you at the VMC tomorrow night. For more information, winterhawks.com. Until next time, go Hawks.
Officer, son, can I help you? Looked at him and said, yes. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.